Okay, you guys ready to do some more tribes? 1 Kings chapter 18. And still dealing with settling the land. And you know, the good news in that is that we're going to be getting past that here pretty soon. And
Two more weeks.
On to some other things. But for this week...
Everybody else begins.
Yeah, we're getting everybody else settled, starting with Benjamin, which is really the way this chapter divides. Starting in verse 11, it's all about the settling of Benjamin, and so we have a lot of the same border set and cities and things like that. But verse 1 through 10 is kind of an introductory segment to that.
Yeah.
And verse 3 is interesting, and I wanted to pitch this question to you.
Yeah, verse 3 is important.
Well, it almost sounds as though they've been dragging their feet about this, and I wanted to ask you, do you think that's just maybe reading something into that, or is that how we should understand this language? How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land? It almost sounds like they haven't been getting with it, and he's getting on them to get moving.
Yeah, you know, and you can take it a couple of ways. You know, one is certainly that, and again, sometimes in biblical books do this, you know, in a generally positive book, you'll see occasional omens that all is not well.
Yeah.
You know,
we've seen that in Joshua.
Yeah, and again, you know, we're, you know, setting up the book of Judges, you know, especially the first couple of chapters where it kind of similarly goes back and talks at the tribal level and shifts from, you know, Othniel and Judah and things going well to some of these tribes that we're getting closer to, ironically, not handling their business, including next week when we get into chapter 19 and Dan, you know, in the book of Judges, is almost driven out of their allotment by the Canaanites. So again, you're you know, maybe a little dark foreshadowing, that may be one aspect of it. you know, and the other part may just be pure motivation. You know, it's time, guys, let's go. You know, it may be a little bit more motivation, but certainly we know that you know, we've kind of occupied the land, subduing it. You know, remains to be done, or subduing it. Actually, depending on your translation, that's the word for what's happened. And now they have to go up, and they have to they get taking possession.
Yeah, and parceling out. And you know, you say that, I do wonder. First of all, part of me just kind of wonders, what's the arrangement at this point? Are they all just kind of camped together as one and kind of like they were in the wilderness all those years?
Yeah.
And are they spread out at all? But clearly what hasn't happened is all of the land has not been parceled out to all of the tribes.
Well, right. They have nowhere to go yet. And again, we'll learn next week at the end of chapter 19, you know, this is all being done by Lot. God's doing it. And so that's the other thing that's worth noticing at this in the preface to the rest of the lesser tribes getting their allotments. After we talk about the big ones, basically Judah and Joseph, it's this, you know, it's literally the whole congregation of the people of Israel assembled at Shiloh instead of the tent of meeting there, you know, setting up the sanctuary of God, the tabernacle of God at Shiloh, which is where it's going to remain. And when we get to 1 Samuel, that's where it still is. You know, centuries later, Shiloh becomes the place where God's name will dwell until Jerusalem in David's day. And so, you know, this is the place where they meet at the meeting, the tabernacle, to come find out the word of God. And so Joshua begins to give him a little bit more of a pep talk. But it is very Mosaic in that just like in the old days where you did have kind of the people around the tabernacle in the wilderness, Moses, what do? You know, here's Joshua playing that role of motivating them to get on with it. Let's finish casting the lots and let's you know, get you know, the sanctuary, the tabernacle is going to stay here now, but you guys need to start dispersing and scattering to your allotments. Let's divvy it up and get on with it.
Now, there does seem to be, going back to something you said probably three podcasts ago, you talked about this interplay with Joseph and Judah.
Yeah.
And that comes up here again.
It does.
And it's almost like there are really only two tribes from one sense. You got Judah and you got Joseph.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you only had two tribes, but it kind of plays out that way when you're reading this introductory segment in verses 1 through 10.
Well, yeah. I mean, I do think that's the thing. At the end of the day, you know, those are the dominant tribes that were vying for preeminence, going all the way back to Genesis, when Joseph, you know, and the subsequent tribes of Joseph, who got the birthright, you know, has the vision, the dream of you know, brothers bowing down, versus Judah's aspirations and his betrayal of Joseph, culminating in Genesis 49 when Jacob says the scepter will not depart from Judah. And so, again, this tension between son of Leah and son of Rachel. I mean, ironically, you know, Judah comes from Leah, Joseph comes from Rachel. So just all these tensions. And so, yeah, and these will be the dominant tribes. It is interesting along that line, though, you know, with these being the two dominant tribes that you'll see all the way into the divided kingdom, you know, then in the exile.
We need to say that because some of our readers may need that little bit of history added for context, yeah. And that is eventually Israel will divide,
yes,
and become two nations, Israel in the north and Judah in the south, and for much of that history be essentially at war with each other.
Yeah, and the northern kingdom of Israel, as we typically call it, is also just sometimes called Ephraim because it's you know, right. which was a tribe of Joseph, because that's where they will build their capital city, and some, you know, Samaria is their capital city. And so you literally wind up with a Joseph versus Judah scenario again.
How much do you think that is the writer foreshadowing what is coming?
Oh, absolutely.
And how much do you think it is, even at that time, there was a perception that you had this division? Do you think the people of that time felt that way and that existed between them?
I don't, I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of any evidence in the stories of a known tension. I mean, when you get to the book of Judges, you know, things get dicey. The tribe of Benjamin is almost wiped out, you know,
right.
Which is kind of, Benjamin's kind of Joseph adjacent as the other son of Rachel. You know, but yeah, you don't really see a whole lot of that tension. You'll see judges from, you know, associated with Judah. You'll see judges associated with Joseph. And so I don't really see a whole lot of tension among the people yet. That seems to come more to the fray with Saul and David. Saul comes from Benjamin. Mm-hmm. Then David becomes king eventually, you know, starts his capital because he's not recognized by the northern tribes under, you know, Saul's clan. You know, he's basically just king of Judah out of Hebron until, you know, several years in. You know, one of Saul's generals, surviving generals, kind of agrees to bring everything over to him, you know, under some conditions. And then they take Jerusalem and establish it as, like we talked about a week or two ago, as a city that was not Israelite until then, right on the border between Judah and Benjamin, to kind of serve as, this is not really anybody's city, so to speak. We can start from scratch here, right on that rift, literally, that geographic rift between the tribes, and try to unify this thing. And then, of course, it doesn't work, and you know, Solomon, you know, dies, Rehoboam, and Jeroboam, and it goes from there. And so, yes, certainly downstream you'll see those tensions develop, but I don't know there's any reason that they exist yet among the people as such.
I'm just pondering that because of the long history of that problem within the family, and we know that the families had problems with each other early on.
Yeah. Well, and certainly, you know, because blood kin meant so much, yeah, there was this national identity, but at the same time, there was still a deep tribal loyalty.
Yep.
And again, you'll see that in Judges with some of the civil warring, right? You know, the Benjamites stick together, even if it means the tribe being wiped out, but they stand up for each other. So there was certainly a certain amount of tribal loyalty that does matter. But all that to say, I mean, it is interesting that the first of the lesser tribes that gets its allotment is Benjamin, you know, the buffer tribe between the north and the south.
Yeah, and that's where we move on to in the reading this week, yeah. is they work out this plan to go, and I guess, you know, it kind of reminds me of the first time they go in and check out the land before the 40 years of wandering. They send a crew out to sort of assess,
right,
and figure how we're going to divide all this up.
Right.
And then let me throw this slide up here that just kind of maps out what we're talking about. They're going to allot the land as it's illustrated here. And so lead off with Benjamin. That's what we're going to be reading about this week and the territory that it's given. And really, that's the rest of the chapter, 11 through 28.
Yeah, that's right. And again, you know, looking at that map you put up, you know, you see Benjamin kind of in between, treat Ephraim and Manasseh as the tribe of Joseph there. And then especially when you throw in Manasseh's allotment on the other side, you know, Joseph takes up a massive amount in the north, Judah takes up a massive amount of the south, and just like Simeon is kind of, you know, nestled in with, and we'll talk about Simeon next week in chapter 19, but, you know, kind of nestled in Judah, all the other lesser tribes that are nestled around Ephraim and Manasseh, around Joseph. So yeah, those were the two dominant sons, two dominant tribes.
Right. So what else do we need to see here in this back half as we allot the portion to Benjamin?
Well, that's a great question. I think, you know, even beyond Benjamin, you know, you do have the measuring and then they start listing, you know, the cities and stuff like that. But to take a step backwards, probably the most important thing is to catch that the sanctuary is at Shiloh. And here's why that matters. You know, this is kind of the beginning of their time in the land. At the end of the time in their land in Jeremiah chapter 7, when Jeremiah does that famous temple sermon, you know, he warns them to not think that what happened at Shiloh can't happen to the temple. And so Shiloh was the first place God stuck his name, and God just, you know, seems to let that fall in the days of 1 Samuel. Remember when with the Philistines and the ark being captured, and that's, you know, when kind of it seems to be when Shiloh, you know, in some ways fell, or at least, you know, was, you know, kind of symbolically fell. And so, you know, God, you know, Jeremiah will use this setting up here at Shiloh as a warning. God wants, you know, kind of let Shiloh fall, let the ark be taken by the Philistines, which is why his people should not assume that it can't happen again in Jerusalem.
Yeah, right.
He's let places where he's placed his name fall before, and the ark be taken. So don't kid yourself. So again, you know, you do see a little bit of these little bits that are easy to miss here early on, and then you forget. But yeah, you know, the other thing to just notice about Benjamin then is verse 16. You do have your back in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. In other words, you know, and the shoulder of the Jebusites. You're basically back to Jerusalem. You know, environs here, kind of, you know, Benjamin bumping right up on that Jerusalem spot, because the Valley of Hinnom is the south side of what the city of David would eventually come to be.
They are right there in the middle, aren't
they? They are. And again, Jebus on the map here, Jebus, you know, which is Jerusalem, for those who don't know that. That's another name for Jerusalem back before it was taken. And so it, literally you see it right there on that border. And so there it is.
Well, you know, we do have a little more land to settle.
We do.
And I know that may be a tougher part of the read, but, you know, hidden even in these little tougher parts, as you pointed out, are some things that are of significance and play into the broader story. So take some time to keep working. After this week, one more chapter, the sort of dividing up the land, and then we will be on to some other stuff.